So, thankful for the blessing to be upon this evening. And we, despite it being Wednesday evening, we have those that are visiting with us. And we appreciate your coming and being here to encourage all of us here at Oak Grove. It seems like that every night this week, there has been somebody in the audience that we hadn't seen for about 25 or 30 or maybe 35 years. And tonight is no exception. And we're so thankful to have the time and opportunity to renew old acquaintances and to know that some things seemingly are well with those of us that we have come to know and that we've come to love. So it's so good to see you and so good to see each and every one this evening. Tonight we're going to look at a study that has been requested, and for that reason we'll not be doing our usual series on the book of Acts that we've been doing since Lord's Day morning, but Lord willing, we will pick back up with that tomorrow evening, as well as for the final service Friday night, if it be the Lord's will. Tonight we want to look at a subject concerning children and their responsibility to their parents. Most of the time what we hear from lessons in God's Word is concerning primarily the relationship of what parents need to be doing in regards to children. But tonight I want us to look at it from the other standpoint, and that is to look at seven debts that we as children owe to our parents. We're familiar, I'm sure, with Ephesians chapter 6, which says, beginning in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." A almost parallel verse to that is in Colossians. In chapter 3, we find in verse 19, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto God." So we see that the Scriptures are very much concerned with the parent-child relationship. There is no denying that. And as we'll look in our study this evening, we'll see truly and an abundance of Scriptures talking about that relationship. And so we'll not even be able to cover all of those verses. So it is a subject that is very important with God, and therefore it needs to be important unto us. If there has been so much Scripture devoted to this relationship, then we need to take notice. We need to learn the things that God has had to say. We need to see what God's attitude is in regards to this relationship, and be sure that we form our thinking and our attitude to conform with what God's Word teaches, not with the society that we have and live in today, not with the philosophers, the psychiatrists, and all of them that are trying to tell us how that this relationship of parent and child needs to be. You go to a library, and I'm sure you'll find shelf after shelf, roll after roll of books dedicated to this very thing. But really, we just need one book. We just need what the Scriptures teach. One of the things that we owe to our parents is our appreciation. In Proverbs chapter 31, it's in verse 28, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." I'm sure we're familiar with this 31st chapter of Proverbs, just the chapter that deals with the virtuous woman. And in all of the things that are said concerning what makes a virtuous woman, we see that in regards to the children, that they are to rise up and call her blessed. So this goes to show that us as children, we need to have appreciation for our parents. Back in chapter 30 of Proverbs, in verse 11, it says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. So from this verse, we see that here is something that is being reprimanded. Here is action on the part of children that is not in agreement with God's way. Remember, we talked the other night about Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, that says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. So here in verses like this, we can see what God's thoughts. We can understand what God's ways are in the matter of children and in the way in which they respond or in the way in which they act toward their parents. As children, we need to bless our parents. We need to show our and have appreciation for our parents and not curse our fathers and fail to bless our mother. You know, it's usually not until we as children become older, or at least until we have children of our own, that we realize all of the things that parents do for us and have done for us and continue to do for us. But wherever we are in our lives, and whatever age that we may be, let us learn and have appreciation for our parents. Another thing we need and owe our parents is respect. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. That word revere means to respect. It means to honor. It means to praise. And so, every one of you should honor, respect, revere his mother and father. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16. Cursed is the one who treats his father and his mother with contempt. So what we have in Leviticus is the attitude that we need to have. What we have in Deuteronomy 27 is the attitude and actions that follow it that we ought not to have. In fact, if you would read other translations of this Deuteronomy 27 verse 16, that word contempt, it's a word that means despise. So we are not to treat our father and mother in a way that indicates that we despise them, or that we consider them to be worthless. That's also the meaning of this word, contempt. It's also the idea of belittle. And that's an easy thing for us as children, at whatever age in our life, to do in regards to our parents, to belittle them. It's the idea of disrespect, it's the idea of dishonor, to treat our mothers and fathers with contempt. It's then in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. That's very similar to Ephesians chapter 6, isn't it? That's very similar to what we read in Colossians 3 and verse 19 that was in the New Testament. So what we're seeing here are principles. We're seeing commands that God is given, whether it's to the children of Israel through the law of Moses or whether it's to Christians under the law of Christ. God's attitude in this relationship of parents has always been the same. And so we need to understand that God's attitude hasn't changed, even though ours may have, and even though we may have been influenced so much by the world in which we live. Notice also in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long. So see, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's what Ephesians 6 tells. So we see almost an identical carbon copy of what we see that God required under the law of Moses and what God requires under the law of Christ. And all of this is that our days may be long. I have no doubt that my days are long and have been long. I've been blessed by God to reach that threescore kingdom. But I'm sure that my days may not have been that long if they had not been. For the teaching, the influence, and the urging of my parents, and my willingness to submit. My willingness to not just only appreciate them, but my willingness to respect them and what they were trying to do for me. You know, you may say, well, you know, you're using a lot of verses in the Old Testament. Well, what about the New Testament? What the New Testament, as we said, says, honor your father and mother. Let's go back there to Ephesians chapter 6, read verses 2 and 3 again. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. But how do we show respect to our parents? Well, certainly one way we show respect to our parents is by how we speak to them, how we talk to them. In Exodus chapter 21 and verse 17, he that curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Somebody said, well, we can't do that today. Well, I know we can't do that today. And I know, as I'm sure you know, that God, in dealing with the children of Israel, had to deal with them as a physical nation. God had to give them civil laws to govern their daily conduct in personal matters as well as in group matters. So that's why we have things like this. This is a part of God's civil law. We know that God has not given us a civil law, but he has placed us under civil authority in Romans chapter 13. So yes, we understand that what's said here in Exodus 21 verse 17 is when God was dealing with Israel as a physical nation, giving them both civil and moral laws. And here's the point I want us to understand. This is God's attitude. This is how serious this matter is to God. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever in his attitude and in the things that he thinks in regards to these types of matters. So as we read, he that curses his body or mother, he's worthy of death. That's the way God perceives it. So this is how serious it is, and this is how we need to take stuff like this to heart and be sure that when it comes to showing our respect, honoring our father and our mother, that we show them that respect when it is that we're talking to them. Because that's certainly an area where it can be seen or not seen, the respect, the honor that we should have towards them. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. That sounds a whole lot like Exodus 21. Remember, he that curses father or mother shall surely be put to death. Here, he that curses father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. That's saying essentially the same thing. No child is deserving to live that does curse his father and mother. That's what God thinks about. It's serious matter to God. And we're going to stand before him in the judgment day. So we need to let our thoughts be his thoughts. We need to let our ways become his ways. Also, we read this verse a moment ago, Proverbs 30 and verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. So, again, the way that we talk to our parents is truly an indicator of what we're doing in Ephesians 6 and verse 2 teaches. Honor your father and mother. Another way that we show our respect is how we act when we're told to do something. Think about that one. The way we act, or the way we react, when it is that we're given instructions from our parents. And remember, it's not only the way that we act outwardly. It's also the feelings and the thoughts that we have inwardly. And now we hide that from our parents. But you know who we don't hide it from? We don't hide it from God. So, just exactly how do we act when we are told to do something? The Proverbs 30 and verse 17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens in the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Again, God's feelings, God's thoughts, God's reaction to those that mock the father, to those that are disobedient. They scorn their obedience to their mother. In Proverbs 19, verse 26, he that mistreats his father and chases his mother, chases away his mother, is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Again, God has much to say concerning the child's relationship to the parent. And we see that, I hope, in these verses. One other one in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 15. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Again, we're talking about a civil law that the children of Israel lived under, but it come from God. It's an indication of God's attitude, the way God looks upon it. So we need to be careful as children. Young or old, age is not the factor. We are always our parents' children. And we need to honor our father and mother. We need to show that respect. What do we owe our parents? We owe our parents our obedience. Back to Colossians 3 and verse 20 that we read a moment ago. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Is there ever a question of what's right? Well, here is the settlement of that question. Here is the determining of what is right. Obey your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And remember last night we talked about whether we're to obey God rather than man. So see, it comes down to a matter of who are we willing to please? Who is the one that we're chiefly concerned with pleasing? Is it self? That's easy. That's usually who ends up winning. But it needs to be the Lord that we please. And if we as children will obey our parents, that is well-pleasing unto the Lord, and that is right. You know, Jesus, he continued in subjection unto Mary and unto Joseph. You remember when he was 12 years of age, we read of an incident in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, when they went up to Jerusalem, and as they left to journey home, they thought that he was with them, but later to find out that he wasn't. And they returned to Jerusalem. You can imagine the anxiety and the fear that come upon them as they are here searching for their young son. And when they found him, what did he do? Well, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But he made that statement, you remember, I must be about my father's business. And so it was with that his mother kept all of these things in her heart. But here is the Son of God. Here is deity in the flesh. And yet, he was subject. He was subject to his parents. Now, what do we often say about Jesus? He's our example. We sing that song, we follow in his footsteps. Okay, here's his footsteps, being obedient unto his parents. In Deuteronomy, let's make this point while we're here. God is concerned about children obeying their parents, not only because of the effect on the home, the individual home itself, although that's a big part of it, but that's not all of it. It's also the effect that it has on society, the world that we live in. And you and I know the society that we live in today. We see people, young people, that are out of control. We see them overrunning the streets, overrunning business places. And I'm talking young, I'm not talking necessarily teenagers, I'm talking those in the teenage and the 20 and the 30 year group. There's a problem. There's something wrong here. And the problem is that children have not learned, and parents, and I understand that a lot of this is the parents' responsibility, but since we're talking primarily from the standpoint of children to parents, there are a lot of children that have been raised right but are still not living right. So again, God is concerned about children obeying their parents because that not only is going to have a tremendous effect upon that home, but it has its effects upon society, it has its effects upon the church as well. Now let's go to Deuteronomy, chapter 21, and begin our reading with verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders of the city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all of the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Again, we're talking about a civil law. How God dealt with Israel. He dealt with them in terms of civil laws, yes. But don't we see in God giving this command how God looks upon stubbornness and rebellion? He looks upon it as evil. Because the sentence that was pronounced upon this stubborn and rebellious son was for the purpose of putting away evil. And for all Israel to hear and to fear. Well, we need to read these verses, and although we can't carry out this sentence to this degree, obviously, we need to understand that it's still just as evil for a son to be stubborn and rebellious. It's just as evil for a child to be chastened and not benefit from it, not heed the discipline. We need to understand that it's just as evil for him to not obey the voice of his parents, to be a glutton, to be a drunkard, to be whatever it is that he is, that's out of harmony with God's will, and realize But that kind of behavior, if we are persistent in it, if we are engaged in it as a child, we need to hear. We need to feel. Because we're dealing with God's attitude, God's thoughts concerning this type of behavior. God has it changed. His law has. But his attitude on many of these things, the principles that we're seeing, have not changed whatsoever. A stubborn and a rebellious son under the law of Moses was to die. Another thing we owe our parents. We owe our parents our understanding. How many times have we said it when we were a child, and how many times have we as parents heard it from our children that my parents don't understand me? In my day, it was called the generation gap. I don't know, I haven't heard that word in quite a while, so I don't know what they're calling it today. But it's this idea that, well, you know, my parents just don't understand me. Well, let's understand this. Understanding works both ways. While we as children may not understand our parents, the question is, as a child, do I understand, do you understand your parents? They don't understand you. That's your charge. Now, do you understand them? Are you able to put yourself in those shoes with all of the responsibilities they have in regards to you, doing everything that they possibly can to do the right thing in regards to you, and then you say that, well, my parents don't understand me? The problem may very well be we don't understand our parents. And that's where we need maybe to come down. This attitude, my parents don't understand me, kind of puts me up here above them, which is exact opposite of what we've been talking about when it comes to showing appreciation and when it comes to showing respect. We don't need to put ourselves above our parents. We need to, as the old expression is, walk a mile in their shoes. And then we may better understand the things they do and why it is that they do. What do we owe our parents? We owe our parents our cooperation. We owe our parents as much cooperation as we can possibly give. And this goes back to a statement that I've made already. Parents have a fearsome responsibility. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Provide for his own. Man, what a responsibility that's involved in those four words. Provide for his own. The things that a father has to go through, whether it's the mental capability of learning the trade, of having the skills of the hand to perform the work that he does, the hours that he has to involve himself in the labor that is involved in making the money that's required to come home and to have the roof over your head, the clothes on your back, the shoes on your feet, and the food on your table. And the mother who is there, who is a little bit of everything. She is a janitor. She is a seamstress. She is all of these things. She's everything from the financial standpoint of the family to everything that is involved in the running, the ruling over the house that God has given her. She is, as the old expression is, a jack of many trades. Well, sometimes us as men just have to have learn one trade. A mother has to have multiple trades in order to keep a house going, to cook, to clean, to provide the things for her children, to provide the things for herself and her husband. See, that word, provide for his own, that's where sometimes we as children, it just kind of goes over our head. We don't really stop and think of what all is having to be done to provide for us. When we're well, when we're sick, when we're in diapers, or when we're going to school. It's pretty amazing if and when we get right down to thinking about it. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. A father has a tremendous responsibility as being the head of the family. And that's the position that God has given. And in this position, he is to bring up these children in the training and in the discipline, as the New King James says, of the Lord. He is to be not just only the physical provider, but he is to be the spiritual leader. What a responsibility that's put upon him for that. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and a chain about your neck. You know, we put our clothes on in order to decorate ourselves. We, as women, wear necklaces, earrings, things that help to decorate, help to set us off. Well, what God is saying here is that, son, child, when you hear the instructions of your father, and when you do not forsake the law of your mother, that is the most beautiful thing that you can ever present for anybody to see. Do we look at it as that? We need to. Because that's the way God looks at it. When we are in hearing our father, when we are not forsaking the law of our mother, we are a beautiful thing as far as God is concerned. That is real and true beauty. It has nothing to do with what we see in the mirror. Then there is Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandments. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. What we are taught as a child is to be who we are. Is to become what we are. So much so as it will be, like it says here, that he'll be something that will be bound continually upon our heart. It will be like it's around our neck. It will be as if when we walk, it will lead us. When we sleep, it will keep us. When we are awake, it will talk to us. That's how much we need to honor and treasure the teaching and the instruction of our parents. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Proverbs 4 verse 13, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. She very well may be your physical life, but she definitely will be your eternal life. And then Proverbs 15 and verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Now if you look that verse up in other translations, you'll see that word prudent translated as wise. So it's saying, you will, who that receives correction is wise. It's also in some translations translated circumspect. Now we've heard that word before. Remember over there in Ephesians 5 verse 15 that we're to, within the time, we're to walk circumspectly? That means that we're to walk with a view of all circumstances. Not just for the moment. But that's sometimes what we do as children. We sometimes are tunnel vision. We get set on one thing and that's it. That's all we can think about. That's all we live for. But we need to be circumspect. We need to look around. We need to consider the actions and the consequences. We need not just to consider the here and the now, but the tomorrow. For a very simple reason, that a lot of what we do when we're children, at young ages, especially at teenage years, these are things that can haunt us the rest of our lives. They can change our very character. That's why it's so important to understand that if we're willing to receive proper instruction, we are wise. And one translation just said good sense. And I like that word. He that receives instruction has good sense. Because nothing makes any better sense than to do what's right. What do we owe our parents? We owe our parents our best. We owe our parents the best of ourselves as sons and daughters. You know, we read a moment ago, Deuteronomy 21. And remember what we said in verse 20? This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. You know, in those verses we read, and started there at about verse 19 or verse 17 and read through verse 22. It's just one verse, this verse 20. Read that book. Imagine yourself as a parent saying this verse. If you lived in the days of the law of Moses and you're going before the elders of Israel, and you're making this statement about your own flesh and blood. Can you not sense the pain that this parent obviously has to feel? You're sensing, you're feeling the pain in this statement here. So let's us as children do our best as sons and daughters. In fact, the greatest compliment we can give to our parents is becoming Christians. Real Christians. I've seen too many kids become Christians. I've seen too many kids, children become, I've seen too many children be baptized. I'm trying to say. But that's about it. As far as real, genuine faithfulness, no. Real, genuine conviction, no. Real, genuine steadfastness, no. So that's why I'm saying the greatest compliment we can give to our parents is by becoming a real Christian with personal convictions and faith. And then to live the life of a Christian to the very best of our ability. Let me say this, and I'm speaking from the Spirit. The greatest blessing that I have as a parent is to be able, as John says, to know that my children walk in the truth. That's the greatest blessing. And each and every night, I thank God that my children walk in truth. because at the same time that that's a great, greatest blessing, and I'm thankful that I have not had experience in this area. Truly, what has to be the greatest heartache, what has to be the greatest disappointment, is for children that do not walk in the truth. It has to be. So, just think about it. Parents that have children that are like that are not walking according to, that has to always cause them as a parent to question themselves. I've never seen a parent yet that had an unfaithful child, regardless of how good of a parent they were, as regardless of how sincere and how diligent they were in trying to raise their children right, I've still never seen one yet that had an unfaithful child that didn't find themselves to be the blame, to try to make themselves to be the blame. Sometimes they may be. But I don't think that every time when a child goes astray, that it's always the parent's fault. But regardless of whether it is or not, that's what the parent will think. That's what they will have to deal with. But truly, the greatest heartache and the greatest disappointment. In Proverbs 20 and verse 21, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. We owe our parents our continued love. This is the final point that we make. We owe our parents our continued love and concern throughout a parent's life. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, but if any widows have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Piety. What's that mean? Some translation says great respect. Okay? Let them show great respect at home. Some translation uses the word reverence. So, show reverence at home. One translation said, show their devotion to God by taking care of their home. So see how closely this is tied in all of what we're talking about in regards to what we as children do to our parents, how that relates to our relationship with God. But then there's another word here. And let them requite their parents. The word requite means a return of duty. The word requite means repay. And we're not talking about, you know, paying them in money, although that may be the case in some instances. But again, think about what your parents have done for you from the time that you were born until the time that you were old enough to go out on your own. They diapered you when you couldn't take care of yourself. They fed you when you couldn't take care of yourself. They made sure that you had everything you needed in order to grow up to be healthy. And when you weren't healthy, they did everything they could to get you well. Time, money that they spent on you. Not to count all of the things that they have had to buy. Clothes, food, school. Now the Bible is saying we need to requite our parents. We need to repay them. It may be that our parents may get in such physical condition that they can take care for themselves just like a baby. What we need to do as children, we need to be quiet our parents. You know, I sometimes think life goes in a circle. We're infants, we can't take care of ourselves, we grow up, we're mature, we're adults, we're able to take care of ourselves, but then we become disabled. We get to where we can't take care of ourselves again. It seems like a cycle. I've seen it. Personally. I hope I never get that condition, but I don't know. I may very well. We don't know what the end of our life will be. But as children, we need to show piety at home. We don't need to think in our minds that, well, I'm out from under mom and dad's roof now. I don't have any more responsibility toward them. Oh, yes, you do. God says you do. You're going to have to show piety at home, and you're going to have to requite your parents, or else stand in the judgment day, because this is something, remember what it said? This is good and acceptable before God. It's amazing. It's interesting to see this relationship of parents and children, how much God has had to say about it. So, you know, once when Jesus was teaching, there were some Pharisees and scribes that came to him, and they asked, why did your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Of course, the matter, fact of the matter was that they may have been transgressing the tradition of the elders, but that wasn't near as serious of an offense as they were making. See, they had elevated the tradition of the elders to be on equal ground with the law of God, the commandments of God. But you remember what Jesus, you know what Jesus' answer was? It's there in Matthew 15. You need to honor your father and mother. It was they that was transgressing God's commandment of honoring their father and mother by trying to emphasize a tradition of the elders. And what the elders had conjured up that could put you in a position where that you didn't have to honor your father and mother. But again, see, even when Jesus was here on earth, he emphasized how important the honor of your father and mother is, or it was to be. No, we can't avoid the obligation of loving our parents. If we don't give to our parents the things that are rightfully, that we rightfully owe them, then what we have in Proverbs 28 and verse 24, whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is companion to a destroyer. So the question, are we robbing our parents? Because what we looked at in our study tonight is the things that we owe them. Are we paying our debt? We owe our parents our appreciation. We owe our parents our respect. We owe our parents obedience. We owe our parents understanding. We owe our parents cooperation. We owe our parents the very best of ourselves. And we owe our parents continued love. If we're not paying these things to them, then we're doing exactly what Proverbs 28 and verse 24 says. We're robbing our parents. And we're no better than a destroyer. because that's what God said. Let us never forget the debt that we owe our parents. And if we're still blessed to have parents that are still living, let's appreciate it. Let's honor it. Let's give to them everything we owe them. And know that when we do this, we will do that which is good and acceptable unto God. We all need to be children of God. And a lot of what we talked about in regards to our earthly parents are the things that we owe to our Creator. But we cannot really appreciate our Creator until we have made ourselves available of something that cost Him dearly. It cost Him His Son. And it cost His Son dearly. It cost Him His life. And that is to have the forgiveness of our sins. We're all guilty. Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we say we've not sinned, we deceive ourselves. Nobody is fooled but us. The truth is not in us. We have to make the humble admission that we are sinners before God. Because what is sin? Sin is a violation. It's a transgression of God's law. That word transgression is a big word, but it's really a simple word to understand. You see signs out here on houses and fields that says no trespass. What it means is when you go beyond that point, when you go through that door, when you go across that fence, you're trespassing. You're going beyond. So that's what transgression is. It's going beyond what God would have us to do. But sin is also failing to do. Sin can be both. It can be going and doing more than what God says to do, that He hasn't commanded, or it can be failing to do the things that God commands. Either way, it's sin. And the only way sin can be forgiven is through the plan that God has given through His Son. And that is to hear His word, believe it, repent of our sins, confess His faith in Him being the Son of God and being baptized, buried with Christ in baptism. We can become His child. He can be our Father. We can call upon Him, our Father, which art in heaven. But without that relationship, He is not our Father. He's our Creator. But He needs to be our Father, the one that has forgiven us of our sins, that we can be in harmony and in fellowship with. And if we've obeyed the gospel, but yet as a Christian we have sinned, let's repent of our sin. Let's be humble enough to acknowledge our sin and repent of it. And if our sin is open and known, confess our faults one to another, that we can pray for one another. If you're subject and we can assist you, please let it be known while together we stand for sin.